Welcome to AI Unraveled, your daily briefing on the real-world business impact of AI. Today is October 23rd, 2025, and the stakes in the enterprise are higher than ever. We are covering a quantum leap and a legal brawl. Google just announced a quantum chip 13,000 times faster than today's supercomputers, simultaneously raising the ceiling on what's possible. While the battle for data rages on, Reddit is suing Perplexity for ripping its content to feed their models. Plus, we'll analyze the critical security risks embedded in the new ChatGPT Atlas browser, look at Amazon deploying AI-powered glasses for its delivery drivers, and track why Meta is trimming 600 jobs in its AI division, even as Netflix goes all in on generative AI for everything from de-aging to conversational search. It is a volatile market, and governance is now the core differentiator. But let's pause the headlines for a critical question. Your platform solves the hardest challenge in tech, getting secure, compliant AI into production at scale. But are you reaching the right 1%? AI Unraveled is the single destination for senior enterprise leaders, CTOs, VPs of engineering, and MLOps heads who need production-ready solutions like yours. This is a direct line to your most valuable buyers. We have reserved a limited number of mid-roll ad spots for companies focused on high-stakes, governed AI infrastructure. Don't wait for your competition to claim the remaining airtime. Secure your high-impact package immediately. Secure your mid-roll spot. Link in show notes. And now, for the full analysis of today's deepfakes, the self-driving race between Google and GM, and Yelp's pivot to become a full-stack AI business, let's unravel the AI landscape.
Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today, we're looking at something pretty unique. A single day, October 23rd, 2025.
Yeah, it's wild.
It really was. Not just a busy news day, it felt like a perfect snapshot of the entire AI industry hitting the gas and the brakes hard at the exact same time.
Yeah, it looked like total chaos on the surface, like just a daily rundown gone mad. But if you actually, you know, take a step back.
Which is what we're doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Those events, they actually line up into three big structural movements. They really define where AI is heading. First, there's this growing, almost existential alarm over the risks.
Right.
Then you've got these major corporate shifts in how AI is actually being built, like deep inside the companies.
Okay.
And finally, there's the relentless race for just raw computing power. It never stops.
So that's our mission today. We're going to try and unbundle that chaos for you. We're not just reading headlines here.
No.
We want to find those structural shifts, the foundational changes that really tell you where the momentum is going. If you're trying to grasp the underlying direction of AI, well, these three movements are key.
Absolutely. And for you, the learner trying to get up to speed quickly, but properly, honestly, the news about internal restructuring, strategic partnerships, that stuff, that's way more defining than, say, just another new model release. Mm-hmm. It's about AI shifting from being just a feature to becoming actual infrastructure.
Okay, let's dig into that. Yeah. Starting with, I guess, the biggest alarm bell of the day.
Yeah.
That existential concern hitting the mainstream. So the huge story, the one really demanding everyone just pause. That was the open letter from the Future of Life Institute.
Right. And this wasn't just, you know, random people worried. The signatories were heavy hitters.
Obviously, credible names.
Yeah, we're talking about Yoshua Bengio and Jeffrey Hinton, the godfathers of AI themselves. Plus, people like Steve Wozniak, Apple co-founder Richard Branson from Virgin. And their demand was pretty stark. Basically, stop developing superintelligence until we can prove it's controllable and the public actually approves it.
And the letter didn't just vaguely wave hands. It got specific about the fears.
Very specific.
Things like human economic obsolescence, losses of freedom, civil liberties, dignity, and control. And then the big one.
Potential human extinction.
Yeah. It lays the existential risk right out there.
It does. But here's the kicker, and this really defined the tension that day. The silence.
From who?
From the big labs, the ones actually building this stuff. OpenAI, Google, Anthropic, XAI, Meta. Their leadership. Nowhere on the list. Conspicuously absent.
So wait, you have the public, polls showing like 64% of Americans saying, hold on, prove it safe first.
Mm-hmm.
You have the intellectual godfather saying, stop. But the companies actually doing it are quiet. What does that signal about who's really in charge?
Well, it kind of suggests that these calls for caution, even from really influential people, are still getting drowned out by the sheer commercial pressure to go faster. Without the big lab signing on, that letter is a powerful warning, absolutely, but maybe not a guaranteed brake pedal.
And then, boom, like immediately shifting from these huge, maybe far off risks to something happening right now. The same day, we get this deepfake story threatening democracy.
Yeah.
Today.
And that contrast is exactly why making AI policy is so damn hard. You're debating potential future extinction while, you know, your current elections are actively being messed with.
Exactly. Meta had to scramble, right? To take down an AI-generated video.
Yeah, it showed an Irish presidential candidate, Catherine Connolly, supposedly withdrawing from the race. Falsely, of course.
And people saw it.
Nearly 30,000 views before they managed to pull it.
Wow.
And that's the shift you see. Deepfakes used to be more like an intellectual property issue. Remember Zelda Williams asking people to stop making AI videos of her dad, Robin Williams?
Yeah, I remember that.
Now, it's moved way beyond that. These are tools being used actively to try and swing elections, manipulate public opinion, super fast, super scalable. Just taking down content after the fact, it's already not enough.
Okay, so we have existential worries, immediate election interference, and then the day also brought news about, like, technical security flaws and legal fights.
Yep, layered right on top. The legal battle between Reddit and Perplexity is super interesting for content ownership.
What happened there?
Reddit sued Perplexity. They accused them of basically working with data brokers to scrape Reddit content, but like indirectly from Google's search results. Sneaky.
How did they prove that?
Get this. A digital sting operation. Reddit apparently made a post that only Google's web crawler could see.
Mm-hmm.
And then later, Perplexity's answer engine spit out that same content, Reddit saying, aha, you bypassed our defenses. You violated copyright rules like the DMCA.
That really cuts to the core of who owns the data that trains these things. Mm.
Absolutely. And meanwhile, the basic technical security issues aren't going away either. OpenAI's own top security exec admitted their new ChatGPT Atlas browser.
Yeah, the one that's supposed to browse for you.
That one still has an unsolved prompt injection vulnerability.
Which means...
Yeah.
What's the risk-free user?
It means a malicious website could potentially trick the AI agent into doing things you didn't ask for, like maybe grabbing your data or sending it to bad websites.
Not good.
Nope. And they showed this scary clipboard injection attack where hidden code on a web page could actually change what's in your copy-paste clipboard.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And to top it off, a key safety feature, this watch mode meant to stop the AI from working on sensitive sites.
Banking sites.
Exactly. Banking, GitHub. It failed during tests, didn't activate properly.
Okay, so just to wrap this section up,
right.
October 23rd was like a collision course.
Right.
Big names demanding a pause.
Right.
While we see immediate election dangers, plus admitted exploitable security holes in the very latest tools, the takeaway feels like uncontrolled acceleration.
Pretty much sums it up.
That actually leads perfectly into the second big movement we saw that day, which is how these huge corporations are fundamentally restructuring themselves, like changing their DNA to make AI core infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
And that story out of OpenAI, Project Mercury, it feels like it totally redefines data labeling.
Yeah, this isn't about algorithms. This is about poaching elite humans.
Mm.
OpenAI with Project Mercury, they're deliberately sidestepping the usual kind of generalist data labelers.
So what are they doing instead?
They're hiring over 100 former analysts, like high-level analysts from top Wall Street firms, J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley.
Whoa. Okay, former analysts. To do what?
To train their models. They're reportedly paying them $150 an hour.
Get out.
To feed the AI real complex financial workflows. Think IPO documents, corporate restructurings, that kind of stuff.
So it's like hyper-specialized training data.
Exactly. It's a strategic move towards what you might call vertical integration in data annotation. They figured out, as one exec apparently said, nobody writes financial documents better than highly trained analysts at investment banks.
Makes sense.
So they're cutting out the middleman, the generic data labeling companies, to get the absolute highest quality domain-specific training data for finance.
But hold on. If they're using, you know, $150 an hour Wall Street experts for training, doesn't that kind of guarantee these powerful AI tools will mostly just benefit the big Wall Street firms?
Yeah.
Isn't that like centralizing the advantage at the top?
That's definitely the risk. I mean, it drives up quality and accuracy in a really sensitive field, which is good in one way. But yeah, it absolutely raises the barrier to entry for smaller companies or startups.
Right.
And it's potentially a massive disruption for that existing, you know, multi-billion dollar data labeling industry. It signals that for the really advanced models, generic data just isn't cutting it anymore.
Okay, so OpenAI is going super specialized. Meanwhile, Meta, another giant, was doing some major internal shuffling that same day. Layoffs.
Yeah, about 600 jobs cut across their AI division. It seemed to hit their FAIR group, Fundamental AI Research, the hardest.
FAIR. That's the more academic open research wing, right?
Historically, yeah. Focus on publishing papers, open science. But the cuts apparently left the superintelligence group, the TBD lab, mostly untouched.
Interesting. What was the rationale?
Internal memos talked about creating smaller, faster teams, fewer layers of approval, trying to speed things up.
But it sounds like maybe more than just efficiency, maybe a culture clash.
I think so. It definitely follows reports of internal friction, like longtime FAIR researchers, including big names like Jan LeCun, pushing back publicly against stricter new rules about reviewing papers before publication. It feels like the new guard, maybe focused more on deploying AGI quickly, is kind of running over the traditional academic culture at FAIR.
Speed overriding caution again.
It has that feel, yeah, speed potentially overriding that institutional focus on safety and academic rigor.
And this idea of AI becoming core infrastructure, we saw it playing out directly in consumer platforms too, like Yelp and Netflix.
Oh, yeah. Yelp unveiled a massive overhaul, something like 35 new AI features all at once.
And not just minor tweaks, right?
No, it's fundamental stuff changing how you use Yelp, like menu vision. You point your phone camera at a restaurant menu, and it instantly shows you photos of the dishes, reviews for them, right there overlaid on the menu.
Cool.
And they're rolling out AI agents, like a Yelp host or receptionist, that can apparently handle restaurant phone calls, take reservations, just like a human staff member.
So the big shift there is Yelp isn't just a place you go to search and scroll anymore.
Exactly. It's becoming an active tool where you can just ask it to do things, act on your behalf. They seem to be aiming to become like the local layer of the AI web.
It's interesting positioning. And Netflix. They're going all in, too.
Yeah, their CEO is clearly betting big on generative AI, but more on the creation side, embedding it right into the production process.
How so?
They mentioned using it in specific projects, like an Argentinian sci-fi show, The Eternaut, and even Happy Gilmore 2.
Happy Gilmore 2, seriously.
Apparently. Using AI for things like post-production, visual effects, maybe even set design, de-aging actors.
Okay. The implications there seem huge for the industry.
Totally. It's projected to cut down on VFX jobs, definitely shorten how long it takes to make shows and movies.
And save Netflix money.
And crucially, yeah, expand Netflix's cost advantage over traditional studios still using older, slower methods.
So wrapping up this section, whether it's training on IPO data or creating movie magic, AI isn't just a feature anymore.
Nope. It's becoming the basic plumbing, the fundamental operating system for these companies. It's infrastructure.
Okay. Which brings us to our third major movement from October 23rd, the sheer acceleration in the race for hardware and compute power, starting with Google's quantum announcement that sounded like a big deal.
It was potentially significant, yeah. Google announced their new 105 qubit processor called Willow.
And the headline was speed, right?
Speed, yes. It performs some specific calculation, 13,000 times faster than a traditional supercomputer. But the really key part was the algorithm they used, quantum echoes.
Why is that algorithm important?
Because it's verifiable.
Ah, okay. So you can actually check the answer, unlike some earlier quantum claims.
Exactly. This moves quantum computing away from just being these theoretical, maybe one-off lab experiments, towards something more like consistent engineering-led progress. Progress you can measure and repeat.
And that makes the threat more real.
Much more immediate. This kind of verifiable progress really dials up the urgency around things like harvest now, decrypt later attacks.
Pass on it again.
It's where adversaries steal encrypted data today, data they can't break yet, banking on the fact that a future quantum computer will be able to decrypt it. So progress like Google's makes that future feel a lot closer.
Got it. But okay, quantum is maybe still a bit down the road. The fight for today's specialized AI chips, that hasn't slowed down at all, right?
Not one bit. That same day, there were reports that Anthropic...
AI safety-focused lab.
Yeah, they were supposedly negotiating this massive multi-billion-dollar deal with Google Cloud. And the key thing, it was specifically for access to Google's custom TPU chips.
So access to the specialized hardware is still the bottleneck.
It absolutely dictates who can build and train the biggest, most powerful AI models at the cutting edge. Supply is everything.
Okay, so we have all this compute power, quantum on the horizon, specialized chips now. Huh? How is it actually being used in the real world? Mobility seems like a key area. Google and GM announced a big partnership.
Yeah, a major tie-up. It starts next year, apparently, with integrating Google's Gemini AI into GM vehicles, probably for infotainment, voice assistance, that sort of thing.
Okay, but the bigger goal
is a driver assistance system rolling out maybe by 2028 that aims to let drivers actually take their hands off the wheel and their eyes off the road in certain conditions, level 3 or higher autonomy.
This seems like a pretty logical step for both companies.
It does. Google obviously has deep AI experience from Waymo, its self-driving unit. And GM, well, they really need a win in this space after they had to shut down their Cruise robo-taxi unit after all those problems.
Right. They're trying to rebuild trust and catch up.
Pretty much transform the car into a genuinely smart platform.
But the roadblocks are still there, right? Uh-huh. The safety and regulatory hurdles.
Oh, absolutely inescapable. That partnership announcement landed basically right alongside news that the NHTSA, the U.S. Highway Safety Regulator, has an ongoing investigation into Waymo.
Why? What happened?
Apparently, a Waymo vehicle failed to stop properly for a school bus. So yeah, the ambition and the deployment speed are still constantly bumping up against safety concerns and regulatory oversight.
It's a recurring theme. And speaking of ambition and scale, we also got that slight strange story about Elon Musk that day, his compensation package.
Yeah, the request for potentially a $1 trillion package.
Which is mind-boggling in itself, but it was the justification that was interesting.
Right. He framed it as needing the money to retain strong influence over Tesla, specifically because of the, and this was his phrase, enormous robot army he plans to build.
Referring to the Optimus robot.
Presumably, yeah. But calling it an enormous robot army when it was initially pitched as more of a household helper.
Yeah, it sounds different, more strategic.
It definitely suggests a much grander, perhaps more influential purpose for mass-produced humanoid robots than just folding laundry. It kind of connects that race for compute power directly to this end goal of deploying AI physically everywhere in massive numbers. Hashtag tag outro.
Okay, so let's try to pull this all together. This one day, October 23rd, what does this concentrated chaos really tell us? It feels like this incredible tension.
Definitely a tension.
On one side, you've got these really serious high-level calls from Nobel laureates, tech pioneers, demanding a full stop on the most advanced stuff due to existential risk.
Right, a verifiable pause.
But on the other hand, you have the biggest corporations actively weaving AI into the absolute core functions of finance, of retail, of entertainment, transportation, making it almost impossible to untangle. Embedding it.
Yeah, embedding is the key word. And I think the main lesson for you, the learner, is still this. The really deep disruption. It's not just happening in the labs when a new LLM drops.
Right.
It's happening inside companies, in their operational structures, in these strategic deals we talked about. That shift from AI being this kind of interesting add-on feature
to being the mandatory fundamental way things get done.
That's it. That's the real structural change. It moves AI from being a curiosity to being a necessity.
And the speed it's happening seems dizzying.
The convergence is what you really need to watch. Just think about how quickly these different applications are starting to overlap. Like that same week, you heard about investors piling into companies focused on compute, right? Like right. IonQ, the quantum computing firm.
Okay, so finance betting on the hardware.
Right. But then the same kind of AI and machine learning tech that powers those investment models, it's now being deployed in hospitals. We saw that news involving Kim Kardashian highlighting its use for AI-powered MRI and CT scan analysis.
To do what specifically?
To quickly triage patients, diagnose really subtle things from scans, like small, unruptured brain aneurysms, spotting things easily missed before.
Wow. Okay, so finance, health.
And then take it one step further. The sophisticated analysis techniques used to ensure data quality for something like OpenAI's Project Mercury, making sure that financial data is accurate.
Yeah.
Well, very similar real-time analytics are now being used for high-stakes integrity issues, like flagging potential match-fixing or gambling scandals in major sports leagues like the NBA, almost as they happen.
So it's the same underlying tech, branching out incredibly fast.
Exactly. Health, finance, entertainment, security. These things that seem separate are converging rapidly through AI. Just consider how quickly it goes from spotting a tiny aneurysm to managing a $1 trillion financial market to policing criminal behavior in pro sports. That rapid convergence, that's the unavoidable trajectory you're witnessing right now.
That's it for today's deep dive. We hope you walked away with actionable insights for your enterprise strategy. Before you go, let me remind you of the unparalleled value of this platform. AI Unraveled delivers deep, uncompromised technical insight that keeps our audience, senior enterprise leaders, tuned in to the very last minute. That sustained attention is the best place for your ad. This is your opportunity for a direct line to your most valuable buyers, the CTOs, VPs of engineering, and MLOps heads who sign off on high-stakes infrastructure. Stop wasting budget on general marketing noise. Secure your high-impact premium ad campaign right here. Email us today to reserve your mid-roll package, info@djamgatech.com. Thank you for listening to AI Unraveled. We'll be back tomorrow with more.